Father, we pray that you will open up the word to us.
Amen.
And to open our understanding.
Amen.
Concerning you, concerning your divine purpose.
Yes.
As you have done to the two disciples.
Amen.
On the way to Emmaus.
Yes.
We pray that you will reveal your whole plan to us.
Amen.
And whatever we missed, we pray that you will show us.
Amen.
Thank you, Father.
Amen.
Amen. Yeah. Concerning Zion, you have to remember where the house of the living God is. We all remember the word of the Lord when he cleansed the house of God and all those merchants turn over the table of money changers. Right, and rebuke them and chase them out. It is really amazing. And he said one thing, the zeal of his house has eaten me up. Praise the Lord for that.
Amen.
And that means the house of God, Zion, is so much in his heart. Many times we just think about ourselves personally, and we make his house into our kingdom, our small kingdom. We become proud. We think we are the one responsible for God's house. Right. We want to replace him. And at the end, we make a big mess. We make a big mess out of God's house. We have seen that again and again and again. I don't care what nation, what nationalities, from the Far East to the United States and to Europe and to the whole world. The flesh is the flesh. What is born of the flesh is flesh. It doesn't matter what color of the flesh you have. The white is as black as the black. And all the colors are the same. It's the flesh. Right. So here in Isaiah, actually, the focus of God is not just salvation. The salvation is for the recovery and restoration of Zion. Salvation is not just salvation. Salvation is for Zion.
Amen.
For God's kingdom. And ultimately for God to come down to this earth and to repossess it. Not just to possess, but to really repossess. Because it was his. And it was stolen by the devil. Illegally, just like the church today. It was his church. But people stole it and make it their church. So finally the Lord told the people of Israel, it's your house, it's not my house. Although we claim we are the church. The Lord says, no, it's your church. It's not my church. Whatever you say doesn't count. It's what the Lord says that count. You wait and see. Let's wait and see before the judgment seat of Christ what he says. And that's what Paul says beforehand. Do not judge ahead of time. And what if you were wrong? Right? What if you're wrong? So let God judge when time comes. But today, we must be sure in our conscience, with a pure conscience. Faith must be accompanied by a pure conscience. This is what Paul said to Timothy. We must hold the faith with a pure conscience, because if your conscience is seared, your faith will experience shipwreck. Right? Because there's a big hole in your faith. Water will come in and you will have a shipwreck. Don't think that I just believe it is good enough. You can believe anything. When I talk about being Isaiah says, right? The spirit is what? The spirit of enjoyment of the Lord? What kind of a spirit did Isaiah say? Spirit of? Oh, come on. You mean to say you're no longer enjoying the Lord? You see, that person says he's no longer enjoying the Lord. Did I ever say that I don't enjoy the Lord anymore? You'll be surprised. I enjoy the Lord more than anyone that I know today. But I fear him. That's why I enjoy him. In reality. Right? What does the Lord say? He looks at somebody who loves the word.
Trembles.
Come on. So that means you never enjoy God. Well, that was said. They don't know what they are saying. They're in darkness. They're in darkness. Look at me. Am I enjoying or am I like this? Giving or the word in other. Am I like that? I'm smiling. Hey, praise the Lord. Do I look like... I saw a tiger in front of me. No, I don't. But I tremble at his word. Right. You want wisdom? The enjoyment of the Lord is the beginning of foolishness. If you just learn to enjoy at the end, what are you really enjoying? And that shows in your life whether you're truly enjoying or not. Why are you lying? Why are you doing a lot of things and plotting and hatching vipers' eggs? Right? Yeah, they're secretly listening to our message. Well, praise the Lord. You don't need a password. The message is free. Right? But this is what Isaiah said. Right? This is what Isaiah said. Praise the Lord. And this is not just what Isaiah said. This is what God says. He looks at whom? At people who enjoy him? At people who has a humble and contrite spirit. And those who trembles at his word. Because if you don't do according to his word, eventually his word will be your judge, will judge you. And especially if you're speaking God's word and you don't do it, you will get, like what James says, more what? Stripes, more punishment. Yeah. So don't think it's easy to speak God's word. Right. I just had no choice. Otherwise, I would rather be sitting there and let you speak. Yeah. Let's exchange place. You have no choice. I have no choice. None of us has any choice. And Zion especially is his choice. Right? Praise the Lord. So here in the book of Isaiah, let's take a look at chapter 47 again in Isaiah. Isaiah 49, right? 49, Isaiah 49. Ah, Lord Jesus, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Oh, where is it in verse 14? Let us turn to verse 14. And because of actually the sin of God's people, it was not God who forsook them, it was they who forsook God. And they blamed God and said, God has forgotten them. But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Well, why would they say that? It's because they left God. And they blamed God and said, God has forsaken them. Because God is really not there anymore. God is far away from them because of their iniquities and their sins. You know, people use this verse and says, you see, whatever we do, whatever condition we are, it's okay. You see, it's written, God will not forsake us. Baloney. God did not just forsake Jerusalem. He invited Nebuchadnezzar to destroy it. Right. Not because he doesn't want Zion anymore, but because it became a place of idol worship. So what is he going to do with it? Destroy it. Don't think God will not destroy it. You like to keep old things and me too and don't destroy it. Don't destroy it, don't destroy it. Learn to get rid of all the old things. I need to learn that. Then God answered, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion at the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Amen. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hand. You know, a lot of people, in order not to forget, what do they do? To write, oh, your phone number. What is your phone number? I better write it. What's the number you write it where? Where did you write it? Right? Have you done that before? Yeah, because that must be a very important number for you, right? And that is what the Lord does, or did at that time with Zion. It is still in the palm of his hand. Every time he looks at his hand, he saw the name. And he sees the name Zion. Right? If anybody wants to do a tattoo, I would advise you to do a tattoo in your palm, Zion. Then you will not forget Zion. But don't do that, okay? Please, don't go and do that. But it's better you inscribe it in your heart. Amen. Lord, I love your Zion. Right? See, I've inscribed you on the palms of my hands, and your walls are continually before me. So, that means no problem, right? This is how people understand the word. But this is just one verse. You should read the whole verse, the whole Bible. You should read whole book of Isaiah. But if we do not behave, if we become fleshly, if we turn Zion into something else, if he is no longer the king, his throne is no longer there, and instead of his throne, I'm sitting there. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, sorry about that. And you see, this is what happened. If the wrong person sits on the throne, we just ruin everything. Thank you very much. I'm sorry, brother. It's a wonderful illustration. Yeah, thank you, brother. Thank you. Right. And this is what happened. You ruin everything. Yeah. When you sit on a throne instead of God, you think you are the one responsible. You, everyone has to listen to you. You are the elder, the apostle. You are this and you are that. At the end, you replaced him. Even if you're wrong, people have to listen to you instead of listening to God. This cannot be. Right. May the Lord save us. Amen. And this happened again and again, both in the Old Testament days and also today in our time, from the Roman Catholicism to the newest daughter of Babylon. The same sickness. And so it doesn't mean that, oh, the Lord will never forget Zion, that hey, even if we are dead, it's okay. The Lord will not forget us. We are still Zion. This dark understanding. This is twisting God's word. Blindness. This is really blindness. Have they not read? Have we not read the Lord destroyed Jerusalem and the temple? Twice. One time during the time of Nebuchadnezzar, and then the second time is Titus. But that was the earthly Zion. What about the heavenly Jerusalem? What happened to the churches? It became Babylon. They're all gone. The golden lampstands were gone. And they were all captured in Babylon. There's a New Testament Babylon. Right? And Babylon is hatching a lot of eggs. They're hatching a lot of eggs. Producing a lot of daughters. So the Lord has to open our eyes. Nevertheless, God will not give up Zion. God will not give up Zion. This is what he says. He will not forget. But that doesn't mean that he's not going to judge you. If it becomes something else, God is going to destroy it and leave it. Right? In the book of Ezekiel, the Lord was about to leave. You can see the glory of the Lord left the temple. Reluctantly, but he left. Right? And during the time of Eli, what did he name his grandson? Ichabod. The glory of the Lord returned, remained, has departed. At least Eli realized it. And his daughter-in-law realized it. But people here today didn't realize it. They still think they're glorious. Because it's their own glory. Their glory did not depart. But if you look at your own glory, you think of the church is glorious. But in fact and in reality, the glory of the Lord is gone. And he is gone, you don't even realize it. Because you're looking at the mirror of your own glory. And this is sad. You think I'm just telling stories, you know? No, I'm not telling stories, I'm telling history. With a high, this is a high story. It's called history. This is what's happening today and throughout the ages. And throughout the ages. So today, if you tell me, define the church, hard for me to define. It is heavenly, heavenly Jerusalem. How do you get there? You ask the Lord. You have come to Mount Zion. Not to the local church. But to Mount Zion. Where is it? Where is it? You have to be really in Christ. And in the Spirit. Yeah. You have to be fully one with Him. Not a man-made oneness. Not one with certain apostles and not one with certain elders. And, right? Zion is really to be one with Him. One with the triune God. Oh, Lord Jesus, it is His choice. The Lord has chosen Zion. And this is why, where did I put that outline again? Oh, right, I thought it was the wet one. Let's turn to page 2 now. When the Lord returns, you can see the first thing He's going to return to is to Zion. He's not going to return to New York. Sorry, Yanshan. Not to Orange County. No. No. Not to Manila. But He's going to return to Jerusalem. This is why, brothers and sisters, even the earthly Jerusalem representing God there is so important, and Satan wants to occupy it and not to let his people take over Jerusalem. The devilish religion. Right? They will not let go of Jerusalem even until this very day. And this is why it is amazing that this president here in this country, in last December, proclaimed Jerusalem is not only the capital, but the eternal capital. I like that word, eternal. God never left it and changed His mind, no. So when the Lord comes back, don't expect Him to come back in California, Los Angeles, San Francisco. That's a terrible place. It has become a universal toilet. Sorry. This is what the news says. I just read it last night. People just do their business on the street. They're here and there. So the goodness sake. You know what I mean? They do their business, right? Yeah. And the whole city smells. What has become of us? The way it goes, if we let it go on like that, I'm going to migrate to the moon somewhere, temporarily. So when the Lord comes back, He's going to come back to Jerusalem for sure. his foot will come back to the Mount of Olives. He is going to return to Jerusalem. This is the place that he is going to come back to, not to anywhere else on this earth. Not to Stuttgart, no. Not to Berlin, absolutely not. Not to Rome, oh, that's the last place. But definitely to Jerusalem. Well, praise the Lord for Jerusalem. Right? So how about us? Where are we today? You know, we used to talk about Jerusalem, and Jerusalem is just one city, one church. And that's Jerusalem. Oh, goodness. Right? I'm not saying that there can be many divisions, no. But not the way we think. No. No, no. Today you need to see the heavenly Jerusalem, Zion, the city of the living God. And the architect and the builder is God. And it's not built with man's hands, and not built by any man. And it is not built with something of this old creation, including the flesh and the self. Once the self and the flesh enters in, you just corrupt God's building. No wonder the Lord has to enter into the heavenly tabernacle, the true tabernacle, it says, not made with hands. I'm beginning to understand that more and more. What I'm most afraid of is my own hands. That's why you need to keep on washing your hands, otherwise you get sick. With our own fleshly human hands, you want to do God's work. At the end, God will say, no, that's your work. No wonder Paul says, it's not I. But what do we say? I am. It's an ego. It's ego. What kind of an egg? Is it not Viper's ego. The brand name is Ego. It's EGG apostrophe dash O. With a V in front. V.EGG-O. We will just ruin Zion. That's why it's a house of prayer. We need to pray to God. Because without praying to God, it's better that nothing happens. Because if something happens, and big thing happens, you become proud, you think, that's my work, my ministry. I am the elders. I am responsible. I am responsible for a church in Fountain Valley. Then the Lord will say, then it's your church. Who is responsible here? Who is building? Right? Even Paul, although he says he is called to be a master builder, but he says, not I, but Christ. It's no longer I. We better learn not only to say that, but to really feel that and sense that. Right? If that I is still there, you will be hatching some kind of a strange I eggs. Yep. It'll be your eggs. Oh Lord. And anybody who eats those eggs will die. And if you oppose it, you want to crush it, a serpent will come out and bite you. So leave it alone. Don't fight it. Don't eat it. Don't crush it. Don't try to help it. Just leave it. Get out of there, my people, he says. Otherwise, you'll be partaking of our sins. You stay there, you are going to either die or partake of our sins and her judgment. Right. So Zion is really amazing. It is the city of the living God. Yeah. So may the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord have mercy on us. May the Lord open our eyes to see. To see. Right. Amen. So when the Lord comes back, he will return to Zion. That's where he wants to be. Meaning to say the Lord never gave it up. If he did, then it's because they forsook him and it's just temporary. Right? Praise the Lord. Amen. May the Lord gain a remnant today, because we are in the spiritual realm today. The church is a spiritual house. You know, I like Peter. Don't think he is just a fisherman. You know, I'd rather be a fisherman. Really? Would you? Dr. Chua? I'd rather be a fisherman. This fisherman saw the church that is in an amazing aspect. He saw the living stones. You have to be living and alive. And you have to be pure. You have to drink the pure milk of the Word, not adding your viper's juice into it. Venom. But because they're eating it, we call it viper's juice. They will not call it venom. Nobody who's selling you a drink will call it venom. Right? Anyway, you have to realize today, right, the Lord is building Zion, a spiritual house, and Peter saw it. So Peter says, the pure milk. And Peter says, get rid of, first of all those terrible things there. Because if you don't get rid of it, and this is why we're keeping the feast of the unleavened bread. And they're laughing at us. Keeping a feast, that's Old Testament. Well, that's fine. You don't keep it, that's great. But we like to keep it. Why? Because we want to get rid of all the old and terrible leaven. You don't have any more leaven? Well, I advise them to get rid of the leaven of not keeping the feast. Maybe that will help them. Right? So much leaven. How can you be a living stone without getting rid of the leaven and then partake of the pure milk of the Word? You know, these are two sides that is needed. That's why it says the feast of the unleavened bread. It's not just the eating of the unleavened bread, but it is also the purging out of the leaven, because you cannot keep both. It's nonsense. If you eat cholesterol medicine and take a lot of fat and a lot of butter and then eat a lot of... Right. No. No. Then you can become a living stone. A pure, precious living stone. A transformed stone. Because New Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, is all built not with natural stone. And living stone is a transformed stone, not a natural stone. Then we can be a spiritual house, not just a bunch of people coming together. No. Right? Pure living. And then a holy priesthood. Amen. A holy priesthood. Can you imagine that fishermen talk about that? Holy priesthood. Yeah. Yeah. No more flesh and blood. And then he talks about spiritual sacrifices. And then most of all, he is not talking about that, he summarizes it as Zion. Yes. Because that precious cornerstone is for the building of Zion, the kingdom, a holy nation, a very special people, a people of his possession. What an amazing word coming out of a fisherman. So what would you prefer to be? Of course, not just any fisherman. But the Lord has made him into a fisher of men, a very special fisherman. Praise God. But what Peter said is really amazing. And he emphasized Zion. So here, we have to realize today the church is Zion. Amen. And it was Paul who later in Hebrews then also mentioned, we have come to Mount Zion. My, how come he didn't mention that earlier? Right. Mount Zion. The unshakable kingdom. Amen. And here, Mount Zion, the Lord is going to shake away everything that is not of him. And he promised he's going to do that.
Amen.
That's his promise.
Yeah.
He even promised. Yeah. Well, praise the Lord. And he keeps his promise.
Right.
And we need to cooperate and says, Lord, we're going to keep the feast of the unleavened bread. And so let's work together. You do the shaking, we do the purging. What a wonderful word of Peter. Really, you need to see in picture this wonderful vision that Peter really saw. If we don't do that, right? And this kind of work, Peter says, is just like the main cornerstone is rejected by men. Nobody likes it. Yeah, he's rejected. Would you prefer to be accepted or rejected? Yeah, praise the Lord. It's a privilege to be rejected, just like our Lord. What would you prefer?
Accepted by God.
Not only accepted, but precious before God. Chosen and precious. I don't care for position. I don't care for this. I don't care for, I don't know, whatever you treasure. But if you are not chosen and precious before God, then you have nothing. So, what is the church? Hard to describe. I hate myself because I don't have the words and even not seen enough to really fully grab it, apprehend it. Yeah. Because in my heart I've always been asking the Lord, how are you going to build your church? Zion? I've seen it up and destroyed. Up and destroyed. I've seen it so many times since I was 17 years old. Until this very day I've seen it. So I said, Lord, maybe you better change your plan. It doesn't work. Of course, I'm joking with him. Lord, how are you going to build it? Show us your way. Of course, he said in Isaiah, my ways are not your ways. I said, amen. Okay, I agreed. Our ways don't work. Now, please, show me your way. Show us your way. Show all the churches your way. Show the faithful saints your way. Man's way is a big mess. I want to know his ways. And I want to know his thoughts. I don't care what kind of a thought and what kind of a mind and what kind of a culture we have. His thoughts are not just a little bit higher. His thoughts are so high, it's unreachable for our natural ability, man. Without his revelation, without his speaking to us, without his enlightening to us, and not just once for all, we cannot bear it. Right? Emmanuel, can you understand everything now? Physics? Nuclear physics? Overnight? No? Right? You need time. Gradually. And some people are saying, well, we don't need any more new revelation. Well, of course they don't, but I do. Do you? Don't you? You know everything in this book? You must be God if you do. The unsearchable riches of Christ. Surely you don't think, oh, I know everything. No, I don't. Do you know everything? So don't ask me, okay? If you have a question, don't ask me. Next time you call me, I'll tell you, no, I don't know everything. No, I don't know. You're going to get that answer from me next time you call. Yeah. His thoughts are higher. Well, we have to keep on searching and asking Lord, and we have to humble ourselves. God hates the pride within us, and he resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Right. Oh Lord, and to respect his word, let us respect. To tremble at his word means you respect. Your respect. But today there is no more respect for anything. No, they respect themselves. And they demand that other people respect them. And then they become hypocrite, acting so humble, just like the Pharisees. No. That doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. Anyway, Zion is important. I don't have to talk about it anymore. I'm sorry, it is already past 11. Let's have a break.